good day, good evening, good night. Yes, sir, depends, I guess, where you are in the world, where you're listening to us from, and what all is happening in your life at the moment. Is the sun shining? Are you in Alaska? Is the sun shining all the time? We're just trying to cover all the bases.
Today's the longest day of the year.
Yeah, all right. Well, that works for me. I can handle long days. All right. Well, you lucky little devils here. You got Fish and Frank in the chair. Yes, that's me. You got Robert in the chair across from me. And this be a radio fishing. Yes. And we're going to try and do an area fishing report. So let's see how this goes. Okay. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes. Ah, to be back on the air. I've actually been getting a couple of shows out. I had a few here and there. Yeah. All right, so let's get to the fishing report stuff. Peace River, and the Peace River crested like Thursday or something at 11 and a half feet, and now it's down to 9 feet. So that's good news.
Very good news.
It's slowing down. But yeah.
Billions of gallons of fresh water pushing its way down.
Yeah, 3,000 some odd cubic feet a second, and I think there's 7 gallons in a cubic feet, or 6 gallons in a cubic feet, or something like that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I forget what it is, but it's a lot. All right. Yeah. But,
it's an Olympic-sized swimming pool tenfold.
So, what... Yeah, we're getting swimming pools of water every few seconds. But here in Tarpon up on the river.
Yeah, there's been an assortment of juveniles and adults up there from what I'm hearing about, from like the power lines all the way down to the 75 bridge area. More juveniles than adults. Big percentage of your adults are starting to work their way out, heading towards the passes because of this hill tide, but we'll get to that. There's also been, because of this big push of water pushing down, there's been a pretty good amount of small snook moving. I think they got shoved out of the canals and are kind of ambushing some of the little fish that are getting pushed down the river.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of surprised that, you know, when we have this big push of fresh water, that the snook don't go out towards the middle of the river to capture all of that bait and go out through all that. And you just don't see that happening.
Right.
I mean, they're really chicken.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be a very, very timid fish for, you know, the major predator that they are, because they hang out around the docks and around the edges and stuff, but you don't see them go out into the middle of the river and just blast a school of bait.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know why. I never really came into my head before, but I was just sitting here thinking, you know, I see this whole school of tilapia or whatever it might be out there in the middle of the water, and there's no snook bite busting on them.
It is weird because, I mean, even redfish move out there into those schools and attack them. Trout will move out into those schools and attack them. You would think, with as many similarities of habits that a snook has to, say, a largemouth bass... Bass even go out into the open water and ambush schools of bait fish. It's just odd.
Yeah, it's just common. I mean, you know, especially, you know, the pre-spawn feed and all that, with the bass are just out in the middle, just, you know, waylaying all the minnows and everything else. And snook don't do it.
Mm-mm.
I don't get that.
No.
Unless you got to be pretty close to the edge. I mean, to see one more than 20 or 30 feet out into, like, say, a canal or anything, is pretty rare.
Right.
Yeah.
That's definitely a weird thing to think about for the rest of the day.
Now I'm stumped. Now I'm going to sit here and just wonder what the hell just happened. Why did I have to think that? I was so happy before. You know, going in tomorrow, find out if I'm an alien species now, if I have morphed into some kind of unusual critter from outer space. Maybe I'm thinking that, you know, one of those Star Trek earbugs crawled in me and, you know, I'm going to be diagnosed alien, you know, life form. So, yeah, we'll find out. Anyway, let's see. What we've got, a few snook up around I-75, some around the docks and Harbor Heights. There's some redfish scattered around the islands. Had a couple reports of redfish up by the Navigator.
Oh, really?
And one thing I'm not hearing reports of is gar. We've got enough fresh water. The gar should be all over the 41 bridge. They should be by 70. They should be everywhere.
They should be out in the 20-foot hole with as much water pushed down.
Yeah, I mean, they should be all over the harbor. And I'm not, I mean, the water temp's good. Everything's good. Could be the lightning. Maybe they're hiding up in the river with the storms that we've had. A lot of storms. It's been pouring at the house every day. You know.
Yeah.
I went out to Shenango and bought myself a new lawnmower a while back.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And there's such an amazing difference. If you go to Shenango, and I bought my pressure cleaner there, I bought my lawnmower there, and I'm not paying it any more than I would if I went to, like, a chain, like a Home Depot or a Lowe's or, you know, God forbid, Ace. And the crazy part about it is that it's better.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that name brand. I had a Toro, which, I mean, it ran. It did a good job and all that. But it never really would back up or turn or twist or do anything. And I forget what the brand name he's selling down there. But he finds these brands, and they actually work. I mean, my yard isn't all tore up with, you know, spinning tire marks anymore. So it's amazing what you can do with an independent retailer. Same money, better product. Kale bought
his. Plus, I can fix it.
Yeah.
We usually have the parts.
And I traded my old lawnmower in, and because it had quit running, and, you know, it wasn't a lot wrong with it. But he sold it, and he's keeping the money, and I'm trading it off on repairs, because once a year I'm taking in, get have them go through the whole thing. And so I've got a couple years, or a few years now of, you know, free
service.
Maintenance.
There you go.
Not free, but service. So, but it's really cool to be able to have somebody like that locally. Shenango Supply. They're out at 17 in Cleveland. I was thinking about Peace River and a lot of weird stuff, and all of a sudden Shenango popped into my head and Rick out there. So I don't know why. But you know how it goes with
that.
Yeah. All right.
It's all good.
Yeah. If I can keep a straight line thought for at least 5 or 10 seconds. But some redfish on the between I-75 and the 41 bridge. The docks at the Rolls Landing, the big docks at Rolls Landing, got some redfish on them. There ought to be snook there. I haven't heard any snook. I've heard a couple guys tell me about redfish. But those docks on that side, the northern side of the river, a little more redfish. On the south side, they've caught a couple redfish here and there along the Elks Club and some of the other ones. But it's not as good as the northern side.
That's another one that boggles me. You know, talk about the snook, and then why is it that, I mean, it's not that wide of an area, and geographically, it's almost identical as far as the bottom goes and everything.
For the bottom, but when you look at it, as that water comes down, you get the vast majority of the water flow along the southern edge, because the main channel comes, if you're coming from downriver, you come under I-75, and you get out about, you know, 100 yards, and you kind of 45 off to the south, you turn and to catch that deep hole there by the two green markers, and then come up, and that whole northern edge is sandbarred.
Right.
That's hard for the water to get through there. It goes, rolls right over it now. But then you've got all the islands that are up there on that north side of the river, and that big bay section, and then coming down, I think there's a big difference in the water flow.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, because there's docks on the northern and southern side, but I think it could be because of the way the water flows down that river. I think the bulk of it goes along the southern edge, and I think that northern edge might be a little slower current or something.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But now up around 41, some good snook. We've had a few reports of black drum and redfish being caught off the north end, where they just did that. Charlotte County screwed up that whole area down there. I cannot believe we have the worst Parks and Recs place. Here we have beautiful Charlotte County, and we've got these morons in charge of what goes on. Why isn't there parking places? You know, if you want to walk all the way down there, but people don't walk from their house down to the bridge. It's 100 freaking degrees out there.
Right.
So why isn't there parking spaces all along the bridge like there always was? And once again, Charlotte County has ruined a great place. It looks pretty, but it's freaking useless. I cannot believe we why aren't these people fired?
I don't know.
I mean, they need to lose their jobs just because sheer stupidity shouldn't be allowed. I can't believe this. I mean, we've got the... You go over to Punta Gorda, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Punta Gorda hires real people. They're intelligent. They landscape everything. They hire people to take care of it. And it's pretty and it's efficient. Lots of parking, lots of pretty bricks and walkways. And then you come over into Charlotte County, where we get sheer stupid.
Yeah.
It is. It's sheer stupidity. And it's state property. Why, you know, the state should have stepped in. I mean, you've got some... The state does a nice job with a lot of stuff. They should have been going in there going, no, you idiots, put parking spaces here. People drive cars.
Yeah.
You know?
I haven't been in there to see it because it's still blocked off, so I don't
know where you park.
I don't know either.
I have no idea. It's, you know, people are going to end up getting parking tickets because you can drive down there, turn around, and drive out.
Right.
But you can't, there's nowhere to park right along there. They're talking about putting in fishing piers and all this other kind of stuff over there. Okay, great. As long as you're willing to walk from your house to there. Morons. All right, anyway.
They want you to park on the Punta Gorda side where they have parking so you can walk
across
the bridge.
Yeah, you walk across the bridge and, yeah. Oh, frickin' idiots. Okay. Anyway, enough of the moronic CC. Getting over there. Haven't heard much from Bayshore Pier. There's probably some small sharks or cobia going by there, and there should be snook underneath it, but we got no reports on it. Now, if we go over to Punta Gorda, Lashley Pier, a couple of weird trout that are there. A
few eyeball silver and spotted trout.
Yeah, silver trout. I kind of get that, but it's so late in the year, and Kale was out on the flats, cut a 15-inch silver trout, which 15-inch trout is not really big, but a silver trout is a nice size silver.
That is.
And but coming along to Gilcrest Pier, not a lot going on there. You can, if you're there when the jacks show up, it's a lot of fun. But the one thing you can do off Gilcrest Pier is if you're there between 6 and 9, the tarpon are going to go by that pier.
Yeah. Yeah, those little juveniles seem to have that route.
Oh, no, there's some monster fish going through there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those fish that are hanging out at the bridge at night, they'll leave there, and then they cruise right along that Punta Gorda shoreline, right past Gilcrest, go over to Fishville, and then kind of scatter along that flat from Fisherman's Village up to, almost up to Colony Point. And if it was me and I was looking for a tarpon, especially if you're one of these fly fishermen who want to, you know, go out and play with the fly rod, I would be sitting there at daylight about halfway between the PGI Yacht Club Canal and Fisherman's Village, sitting there in about 5 feet of water and just waiting for the tarpon to show up there. Because you'll get your shot. You'll have your shot at that tarpon. Whether they feed or not, it's a different thing, whether you can get them to bite. But you will be able to cast that tarpon there in the morning. And there's nobody there.
I know. It's amazing how...
Telling people this for years, how the tarpon are there almost every morning, and it's a regular thing. It's not a guesswork thing. It's been happening for decades. I mean, since 92, that I'm positive of. I mean, probably before that. I mean, people just don't go there. They go out in the middle of the harbor. They go out to the Boca. They, you know. But why go where it's easy? Who knows? Anyway.
Back to that Lemmings thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if the government says go over here, get as far the other way as possible. All right, back into it, coming on the Port Charlotte canals. We've got some snook in the canals, hearing more about the lights, if the water gets clear enough where the lights, you can actually see the lights.
Right.
A little bit of snapper activity, some jacks. Port Charlotte Beach, a couple of cobia here or there. It hasn't been great at the beach complex. That whole Alligator Bay is just solid fresh water right now.
Yeah, so much water pouring out of there.
And because you get all the canals, the freshwater canals are all still running. You heard anything about spillways?
Just before those rains started, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago with that hurricane, well, not even hurricane, depression that came through. The spillways got kind of active.
It was very depressing for me. I lost thousands of dollars on that tropical storm. So, yeah, that was a tropical depression. I'm still depressed over that.
There's a lot of little snook there, but it was only for a couple days. It was weird. I don't know if just so much water pushed through that those fish didn't stick around long or what, but didn't hear it going gangbusters. But ever since they changed all those bridges along, you know, Hillsborough and Peachland and King's Highway and all that stuff, things have been a little different with that freshwater runoff, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to go on with that. Hopefully this year I'm going to get more of a chance to get out. You and I maybe can get out and fish more of these spots and see what's going on. Mica cutoff, I've had no news out of. I don't know anything about what's going on the cutoff. Mica River, I hear, has been a little slow. Eljabeen, though, it's got some fish, doesn't it?
Yeah, Eljabeen, kind of like what you were talking about earlier with some of the redfish, getting some sporadic redfish reports off of the pier itself. A lot of snook there. And then there's, you know, there's been tarp in there off and on, but not as consistent as you would think for this time of year, because usually that place is hopping in the evenings and early mornings with tarpon
right
around the bridge and that whole basin there.
But now, the west wall just inundated with fresh water. Every time that tide goes out, there is not a bit of salt left on that west side of the harbor. But what's weird is there is quite a few redfish and tons of snook, and they seem to be, there's more percentage wise on the southern half, but they've moved all the way up into Trout Creek already.
Yeah,
they're all the way up along that wall.
Even Cattle Dock Point, we had a couple of reports of some redfish there. No snook, but there should be snook there, but hearing of some redfish.
I don't usually ever find snook at Cattle Dock. I've caught redfish there
in the vicinity of it, though.
Not too much. I've never done well with snook there. I don't know why. No. Going up to the locks, I've caught snook at the locks, but seems like from the locks almost up to Trout Creek. I don't know why that side doesn't do well with snook. Now, on the Hog Island side, there's a couple little creeks there, and they were my kind of go-to hidden spots when I was chartering. I could go into those little creeks, and it was pretty much a live bait thing, though. You pretty much had to have live thread fins or live white bait to get those fish enticed into eating. I was able to do it a couple times with shrimp, but not very often. Winter, summer, didn't really matter. But there was a bunch of snook hide up in those creeks on the Hog Island side.
Yeah, you took me there once, and that was pretty awesome. I didn't realize how some of those creeks are up there.
Yeah, there's some big creeks up in there. We got to go back to my one secret spot. I got to get back up in there pretty soon. I got my finished getting my live wells locked down so I can go out, catch bait, and then come back up with keeping the salt water in them. So,
oh, there you go.
You know, shut down the intakes and just use the recirculating. But anyway, coming back along that wall, we're down by Cape Hayes. A lot of snook up against the shoreline. As you get off Cape Hayes out on the sandbar, I'm hearing pompano.
A few pompano, a few bonnet heads, a few trout. And the tide always affects that place, but right now, even with all that fresh water going down there, it's been weird because you get one guy that does good on the outgoing tide and another guy catches them on the incoming tide. And usually, from what I've always heard from most people, it's been successful this time of year. It's always that incoming tide as it pushes that higher salt content. But it's been a mixed match. Just depends on the guy that day.
Yeah, I think it just falls down to antique slot machine luck. You know, you pull a handle and it's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would say no matter what it's doing, I would at least stop and check it out and fish it pretty hard for a little while.
A lot of big redfish coming right off Cape Hayes, right at the mouth of Turtle Bay, around those sandbars where the old critter used to be stuck up on the sandbar. But all that big outside sandbar stuff at the mouth of Turtle Bay, there's a lot of big redfish there. Some big snook outside on that bar. As you get up into the bay, haven't heard about much. I think if you're going to find redfish there, you're going to either have to fish the mouth or all the way to the back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's going to be much fish in that kind of middle section. But I haven't heard much about Bull Bay except a bunch of fish near the mouth. And I'm guessing that you're going to have to get back by the clam lease or back in the back to find any more fish there.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been hearing. Is the majority of the fish I've been hearing about have all been right there at the entrances. You know, a little heavier volume of water, little deeper spots to hide into for the little cooler areas, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Now, if you're coming around out by Devilfish and on that flats there, moving north along Gasparilla Sound, sporadic reports of bait fish around Devilfish, but there's so much fresh water. Even when the tide comes in, I'm hearing that the water isn't changing color.
No, not hardly at all.
It's been so much fresh water coming down. It's pretty much brown and darker brown.
Yeah, it's going from black coffee to coffee with a shot of milk.
Yeah. So, but there's still redfish out around there. Anything in the ICW along there?
There's been some sporadic reports of some trout on the deeper troughs, and a lot of snook in Whidden Bay, but they're all a lot of little guys. You know,
right, Whidden Bay is up against Boca Grande. No, Whidden Bay is over on the other side. Whidden Creek. Gaspar, Whidden Creek, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just on the outside edges of I'm hearing of like no life at all up inside once you get inside.
Somebody's got to give me a permit and allow me to take a backhoe and a barge in there and start cleaning some of these creeks out. I mean, if, you know, the estuary people, the feds, whoever controls this, I mean, they allow all this stupid stuff, the commercial fishing and everything else in the largest estuary in Florida, and they don't allow us to keep it clean and dredged and properly maintained. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. This is just stupid. We should be farming it, making sure everything has the proper living conditions and everything that it deserves to have.
Well, what it used to have. You know, they all say, well, we're trying to keep it as natural as possible. That's not true anymore because of the natural...
Like I say, in the 1500s and 1600s, maybe even 1700s, you could pull big sailing ships, Spanish galleons, up into these back bays and creeks. Mm-hmm. And now you can't even get a flats boat in them. Right. So what year are we going to call the natural year?
You know? Right. Well, not only that, but you've changed all the flow from all the roads and development there. It's silting it in slowly.
Well, one of the big things that happened was people moved here. Mm-hmm. And I live here, and I got to use water. I take a shower, you know, every once in a while. You know, I try and maintain a little bit of personal hygiene. So, with all the wells, you know, people take showers, flush their toilets, cook, and drink water. And it's eliminated a lot of our artesian springs.
Right.
There just isn't the water pressure there. With people taking the groundwater, the water doesn't bubble up like it used to. And we've lost a lot of these creeks and back bays were kept deep just by the big push of the artesian springs. All that fresh water bubbling up out of the ground, you know, would keep that area cleared out. Well, without the artesian wells going, no springs, there's no water flow. So it just erodes in.
Yeah, kind of sad.
Just the way it is, but you know, to compensate for that, should give me a darn permit. Let me go clean this stuff out. So anyway, getting up around Placida, we got some small sharks there. We got a little bit of Spanish mackerel. What else is going on in Placida?
Been a few oddball redfish, some mangrove snapper, oddball Spanish mackerel, and bluefish. I heard of a few scattered bluefish all over the place. It's like,
That's another one that's weird.
Yeah,
this is way too late in the year. You know, June should not be bluefish month. Uh-huh. But Ron was here, Captain Ron Jones, and he was talking about mackerel and bluefish, and they're just having a ball with them.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, and they're at random places. I mean, the guys, you'll hear good reports at Placida for a few days, and then nothing for a week.
And it scares me. I don't know what's going on. When I don't know, I get scared. Oh my goodness. So I really, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you're sitting here and you hear about this stuff and it just, yeah, that's kind of how I feel, because I don't understand why these patterns change like that.
Right.
What makes a fish that likes the cold weather and the salty water come in when we have hot weather and fresh water?
I have no idea.
Yep. So anyway, moving on, right by the boat ramp at Placida, as soon as you come out, you've got some redfish along that flats there. A little bit of trout across the flats there, not a lot, but some. Working our way up, go up to Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay, I've been getting getting some good reports of some trout up in there. Not great numbers wise, but definitely better quality wise.
You know, I just had a thought. Why don't we do a audio tarpon report for the tarpon page?
There you go.
We can do that next.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because I never thought about it, but I don't have to put it on radio fishing. I can put it right on the tarpon page.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Hey.
Gee whiz. New idea. Bing. Okay. So I guess we'll be adding, audio tarpon reports to the tarpon page. We'll start that today.
Sounds great.
I've just been, literally, guys, I have been standing in the store getting seasick. And you can imagine why I haven't been in a boat, because, I mean, that was just, you know, no way that was going to happen.
No. So it's not a pleasant feeling.
But now, hopefully, you know, the Silverstein Institute people are going to get me fixed. But anyway, so, hey, I still was able to have one clear thought. It only took me 4 years to figure it out, but by God, I'm getting it. Better late than never. All right. We were at Lemon Bay. What were we doing in Lemon Bay?
They're the bigger trout, not numbers, but definitely better quality of them. And they're scattered all over the place from right along the edge of the ICW to up on the flats and those deeper sand holes. And then getting some mixed reports of some good snook activity underneath all the docks, from basically just outside of Placida, heading your way all the way up to the bridge, the Tom Adams Bridge. So good scattered amount of fish there.
I think the audio tarpon thing is going to be kind of cool, because one of the reasons we started radio fishing is I'm tired of typing. Guys, I don't type that fast. You know, I've got 2-3 fingers that actually work for typing. So this was a chance for us to get you more information that I did not have to type.
Absolutely. So, more detailed.
More detailed, yeah. And speaking of detailed, moving out into the Gulf, I've heard stories of permit out on the wrecks and stuff like that.
Yeah, getting some good mixed reports of those from 2 miles out all the way to like 20 miles out. Some of these guys that are grouper fishing are actually seeing permit. A couple guys are hooking them, especially the guys that have been out there and staying out there into the evening time.
Mm.
And then the mangrove snapper have been phenomenal.
Yeah, the brunt snappers, lane yellowtail, mangrove snappers. I mean, pick a snapper and you're probably going to have a good trip.
Yeah.
Now, the grouper's tougher right now. It was pretty darn good. You, Charlie, and my wife Terry went out.
And she outfished all of us.
Oh, yeah. Charlie was laughing about how she kicked your ass.
She was an animal. So, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
She caught the biggest and she caught the most.
She was hurting the next day, though, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, she was sore after that second grouper. She's like, man, I'm out of shape. I'm like, you're using weird muscles. You don't realize the funky muscles you use when you're reeling up fish.
Yeah.
Especially from 140 feet of water, because one of the spots we were at was 143 feet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you got to get that 60, 80, 100 feet of water before you're going to find much for keeper grouper right now.
Yeah.
And but speaking closer in, any Goliath Jewfish type critters out there?
Yeah, they're pretty much on everything out there right now, especially the real near shore, like Helen's Reef, Novak, and Trembly. Really loaded up heavy with some Jewfish lately because of the all that fresh water pushed them out. You know, you had a lot of the resident fish that hang out by the 41 Bridge and El Jobin. And to be honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me if they do a little bit of their spawning right at the nearshore reefs. So I think they maybe gather up in little aggregates out there.
Well, it's not uncommon to find juvenile gag grouper in the canals, along with the Goliath and back on the flats. Like, you know, down off of Sanibel and Pine Island Sound, I've caught so many small grouper there, Bokelia. Yeah. I mean, throwing lures for trout, I'm catching small grouper.
Yeah.
And so that's a weird fish. It's hard to figure out. We know Goliath grow up in the canals and the back bays and then move out into the Gulf as they get bigger. But gag grouper, I don't know. Maybe it's a mixture. Maybe some of them come in and some of them stay out.
Yeah.
I've caught small ones out in the Gulf as well. They're one that's really hard to figure out. I never catch tiny Goliaths in the Gulf.
No.
They're always back up in the canals or, you know, somewhere like that. But with the gags, they could be on the flats. They could be out in the Gulf. That's a weird fish to figure. I never see red grouper on the flats.
No.
But no. The gags, they do. But not enough of them to say that this is where they grow up and then move out.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. But anyway, another one of those mysteries to solve. We'll have to talk to some. Maybe you can call Greg and ask him. Scientist guy. Let's see. Coming back along through the passes, I haven't heard much about anything in Stump Pass, but I know Boca and Captiva both have gag grouper and snappers in them.
Yep.
Anything Gasparilla?
Not so much on the grouper wise, but there's been a few Spanish mackerel moving in there on that real strong incoming tide, and then they disappear as soon as it starts to go back out again. But the tarpon, you know, been ridiculous right there in Little Gasparilla and Boca and Captiva.
Yeah, Boca, Captiva, Gasparilla, the three best passes right now for tarpon, which I'm going to say, you know, if you're going to fish the beaches, probably the best places to look if you don't want to go into the passes for the tarpon are going to be between those, whether it's in the intercoastal side or on the beach side. Those tarpon are going from one pass to the next. The more they're going to hang out in Gasparilla for a while, then they're going to go up to Boca, maybe from Boca over to Captiva, from Captiva back to Gasparilla, whatever. But they're going to be traveling back and forth between the passes, and a great spot for ambushing, whether you're ICW, intercoastal, or on the beaches.
Yeah.
So, getting down, speaking of passes, haven't heard much, some snook and redfish pass. Haven't heard anything about the tarpon, but that could be just because I haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
But Punarasa's been lighting up.
Yeah, right there on the Sanibel Pier, or Sanibel Bridge.
Causeway.
Yeah, Sanibel Causeway, and a little bit around the Punarasa docks, a lot of tarpon and a lot of snook. The redfish should be down in that area, and so should the trout. Just haven't had any good feedback on those, and I don't know if it's just because the guys are super concentrating on those bigger snook and the tarpon, but it's been really, really good down there.
All right. Let's come up around. You heard anything around St. James City, Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey's been a few redfish, a lot of juvenile tarpon, and some small snook. Haven't heard much for trout on that backside there. It's been mainly on the intercoastal side more than anything else.
All right. Pine Island Sound.
A lot of trout again. Kind of, it's...
A lot of redfish down there too, by the way.
A lot more redfish. The trout action is similar to what it is in Lemon Bay. Less numbers, but better quality, but definitely a few less numbers than it has been in Lemon Bay. And then the redfish have been really good.
Tarpon along the ICW a bit. We got some small sharks back on the flats up around Boquilla. You're looking at just about all kinds of fish back on the flats.
Yeah.
But once you get out by the bar, the bigger action starts. You've got everything from big snook, tarpon, sharks, cobia.
Yeah, a few pompano, a few trout. Just a mixed barrage of stuff out there on that whole Boquilla flat and bar.
Now, moving over to Two Pines, I know there's a lot of small snook there. There's got to be some big ones.
Yeah.
Haven't heard much about redfish there.
No.
But what's going on from outside the bar from Two Pines down to Burnt Store, to Pirate Harbor?
On the outside of the bar, there's been an assortment of sharks, of bigger ones and smaller ones, and then quite a few tarpon moving around there. The bait's been real, real concentrated from, like, that imaginary line that I always picture in my head of going from Burnt Store over towards Cape Hayes, you know, Marker 5 area. That seems to be the area where all your thread fins are super concentrated in.
I think it's a little too fresh. They don't really want to hit the Gulf, but they don't really want to come up in the harbor that much.
Right.
And that's kind of that de-embarkation line where they can go deep and still find salt.
Right.
Because, picture it this way, boys and girls. If you're out there, take a glass of water and put a teaspoon of salt into it. You make the weirdest noises when you drink.
Sorry.
But that's okay. It's just weird. If you put a teaspoon of salt in a glass of water, the salt will fall to the bottom of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So salt is heavier than water. So salt water will end up on the bottom. You would think as that fresh water came down it would mix a lot.
You would think so.
But it really, the salt water tends to hang out down by the bottom. And then you've got eons of salt being put into the mud at the bottom and the gravel and just tons of salt there. So it that
leaches almost.
Leaches, yeah. It brings that salt out because as the salinity lowers, the water wants more salt in it, so it picks up some of that salt off the bottom. And so once you're down there around that area from Burnt Store going out to Marker 5 and out towards the pass, you got a lot of areas there's 14, 18 feet of water, and you know, even 10, 12 feet of water. And that bottom couple of feet, I think those threadfinch can go down, get whatever salt they need, come back up towards the top.
Yeah, feed on the nutrients that are in the fresh water, but get down deep enough where it's salty enough to still survive.
Yeah, what's weird, I think threadfins have a lifespan of like 2 years.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, just one of those little quickie fish.
Yeah.
They kind of come and go quick.
Yeah.
But had some reports of some glass minnows down there, so I'm pretty hopeful with all that. East side of the harbor seems to be, which every time we get a good incoming tide, it's going to get some push of salt. So there's a lot of snook over there, and they're out by the bar. If it's cloudy out, I'd be out by the sandbar looking at that little trough right behind the bar. From there, from the sandbar in about 200 feet, working that area for the snook and the redfish on those overcast days. Once the sun comes out and it gets pretty darn sunny and bright, those fish kind of tend to move up into the mangroves a little more, I think, for shade.
Yeah.
But this dark water, you're seeing a lot more fish staying out there by the bar, incoming and outgoing tides. Back under the mangroves, you got a lot of snook. You get back two or three sets of islands, you're finding some redfish. I keep hearing reports of trout on the east side.
Yeah. I mean, like you were saying earlier, you know, Kale caught big silver trout, so there's been a few silver trout around over there. And, again, not great numbers, but better quality. Hearing of some 17, 18, and even a couple 21 and 22-inch trout. And they're in 2 feet of water to 4 feet of water, but the majority of them seem to be in that 2 feet of water where the guys are looking for your snook and your redfish you were just talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. But getting out towards the middle of the harbor, we've got some cobia still working, a lot of small sharks, some bigger sharks, a ton of catfish out in the middle of the harbor right now. I mean, guys are summer really complaining about the catfish. You know, I think every few years they get an overpopulation, then they get a disease or something. Because remember, what was it, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, we had that big catfish kill?
Yeah, it was probably about 10 years ago, because it was only a year or two after Charlie, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And it, the weird part was it mostly just killed the hardheads.
Yeah.
I mean, very few sail cats were involved with that one.
I think they're pretty radically different species. Kind of like they're first cousins, the way a black drum and a red drum are, the redfish and the black drum, but have completely different characteristics, because the black drum and the sail cats both get those parasite worms in them.
Right.
But the redfish and the hardhead don't get it.
Right.
So while they're close enough to actually they could actually breed interspecies, but they're genetically different enough where they avoid certain diseases or parasites. Kind of weird.
It's odd how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, nature's a weird, you know.
Constantly perplexing us.
Yes. Yes. So, anyway, getting down, a lot of tarpon in the harbor itself.
Yeah.
Through the middle, the deep holes and all that. But it's a sporadic bite. I was talking to Ron on the show, I think it was Saturday, and he said, you know, they sat out there for hours, and then when the fish turns on, everybody hooks up.
Yeah.
And it's just waiting for them to, you know, somebody to yell, okay, time to eat, you know. And
dinner bell.
Yeah, when the dinner bell goes off, and then somebody rings it, and they stop. It's like a military feed, you know. Okay, everybody eat right now. All right, you should be full. Everybody stop.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody hooks up. As soon as they turn on, every boat hooks up, every line in the water hooks up, and you got about anywhere from a half an hour to an hour, maybe an hour and a half at the most, and then it's over again.
Yeah.
So
it makes no sense.
None at all. Getting back up Alligator Creek, I've heard of a little bit of snook up in there. Mm-hmm. Anything else going on in Alligator Creek?
There's been a few pompano right along the entrance one I've been hearing.
Yeah, the channel marker entrance.
And then some jacks right as you get into it all, right up to about Poacher's Cut, there's been some jacks. And then a few juvenile tarpon as you get closer up towards Riviera, and then going into Burnt Store.
Yeah, the locks, the old locks where the Narrows is there. Coming up to Ponce, I'm hearing a few black drum.
A few black drum and a lot of small mangrove snapper in there. And then going up into PGI is when you start to hear about more bigger black drum, a lot of juvenile tarpon. I guess the juvenile tarpon have been really, really impressive this year up inside there. Every year they're pretty good, but
remember last year you said it was the best year ever?
Yeah.
Now this year, staying equal or getting better?
I'd have to say maybe even a little better, because or guys have just gotten better educated at being able to hook them. I'm not sure.
Well, I bet you I teach five people a week.
I'm probably right there with you.
you know, because for years I wouldn't allow anybody to teach people how to do the little tarpon, and a few years ago with that whole save the tarpon and all the fighting at Boca Grande, I said, okay, we'll now teach people how to catch the little tarpon.
Right.
And it was always just kind of a environmentalist thing for me, because no matter what you do, 5% of your fish are going to die mortality from catch and release fishing. And I wanted them to grow up and get bigger. But with all the fighting and the arguing and the just who the heck wants to go to Gasparilla Island, Boca Grande? I mean, why would you go there? It's just, it's awful, you know, and too many yelling and screaming and nobody cares about anybody else.
Right.
And so we've had so many people that used to go there then are now coming here, and they're such nice people and they wanted to catch tarpon. So that it was kind of all that combined. You get these really wonderful people who want to learn how to catch these little tarpon, and they actually do what, you know, you explain to them how to, you know, release the fish, hold the fish, do everything, and, you know, what lures to use and how to work them, and they really get into it. Yeah. And they're having a good time, and they're doing absolutely, I would say 99 out of 100 are doing the very best they can at keeping the mortality as low as possible. And I've been pretty impressed with people.
Yeah, yeah. Plus the smiling faces of them coming in, because they're so stoked that they fulfilled a dream and even caught several, let alone one.
Yeah, we're going to do a couple of shows on these little tarpon. Once the bigger tarpon are kind of back down, we're going to kind of get you in-depth about that. It'll be a great thing to put with the tarpon page.
There you go.
But, you know, and it's all about taking care of the resource, you know. Yeah. Watching it and making sure everybody goes good. But so many people now are doing that with the light fly rods, the light spinning tackle, and it's been a ball. So anyway, I think we've about wrapped up around the harbor here.
Yeah, I think so.
Any kind of insights?
No, we'll talk about that on the tarpon page.
Okay, so
we got some good stuff for that.
All right, well, I'm going to get our producer. Yes, that's me.
Hey!
Look at that. Producer's on the ball. He got everything started. And I guess that means it's probably the end of the show. And we're going to boom-ba-deeter our way out of here. Thank you guys for listening. Fishing Frank in the chair, and that's Robert in the chair across from me. And from our studios here in downtown Charlotte Harbor. So, the magnificent studio, and our audience here is all, we appreciate you guys, and thanks so much for listening. I think I'm going to try and buy one of those recording devices so that when we get to iCast, we can do some interviews with people.
Oh, there you go. That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been looking, and the price came down, so I think I'm gonna attempt that. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, Fishing Frank, and thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye.